I believe that harmonies are colors. Every time I paint, it sharpens my harmony.
Your love is bright as ever.
Yesterday I tried to paint you, but the colors weren't beautiful enough.
Even in the shadows.
Your love goes beyond what I can say. Love, Beyonce.
Baby, kiss me.
No, that was not a love letter Beyonce wrote me, unfortunately. It is the interlude from her album Dangerously in Love, where she talks about hearing colors. It almost seems these days like you can't work in pop music unless you've got synesthesia. Take a listen to some of this interview with Hit Boy, who is a producer responsible for, you know, hits by Kanye and Jay-Z and Beyonce herself.
You see, I've always liked the different sounds. Like, I can just, like, see them.
Uh-huh. So, what color is the bass kick?
It's, like, black, kind of, like, grayish.
Uh-huh.
To me.
Yeah. And then a snare would be?
Snare is, like, white.
A hi-hat would be?
Like, silver.
Wow. You hear this?
Yeah.
And it's not just him. Pharrell and Frank Ocean and Blood Orange all claim to have the neurological disorder in which your senses blend together. Long before synesthesia became the ultimate pop music humble brag, Billy Joel and Stevie Wonder both claimed to see sound. In fact, people have been tasting shape and hearing colors for a long time. Synesthesia was first identified in the 1880s, but it's only recently that neuroscience has really been able to describe what's going on in the minds of the afflicted, or the blessed, depending on your point of view. Michael May has our story.
Artist Carol Steen sees sounds in color, also numbers and letters, too. When she was a little kid, she mentioned to a friend that the letter A was the prettiest pink.
And I was sure she would agree, but she stopped in her tracks, and she was silent for a minute. It seemed like a really long time. And then she just looked at me, scrunching up her face, and said, "You're weird."
And that, until very recently, pretty much summed up the scientific consensus on synesthesia. It was weird. A quirk. Some said it was caused by playing with colored refrigerator magnets as a child. Seriously, that was a theory. But in the 1990s, neuroscientist Richard Cytowic began to experiment on synesthetes and found it was surprisingly common. One out of 23 people have some form of it.
The received wisdom is that the senses travel along five channels, that there's no intercommunication among them. And that turns out not to be the case.
Synesthesia has become a hot research topic. In San Diego, neuroscientist V.S. Ramachandran recently sat down with a writer named Deborah Ginsberg.
What types of synesthesia do you experience?
The letters all have very distinct colors for me.
Okay.
Words for me are colors that are affected by the letters. Some letters have dominant colors.
Mm-hmm.
S's are very red, a deep red. O's are like
so
an orangey red.
So if I say scoundrel.
Red. Right. If you say scoundrel, it's a red word.
You see, people have heard this sort of thing in the past and then brushed it aside, saying that's crazy.
Well, but everybody I speak to says it's crazy.
There's no pattern here. But if you look at different synesthetes, you find there are patterns. And science is all
right.
About looking for patterns in what seems chaotic. Periodic table, for example, all these elements, compounds,
right.
All look crazy.
Right.
And then Mendeleev came and said, look, there is a pattern.
Ramachandran used brain imaging to see which areas of the brain lit up when synesthetes looked at letters and numbers. He found activity occurring in two little pieces of gray matter below the ear, the angular gyrus and the fusiform gyrus.
It has the number area in it. It also has the color area in it. And right next to each other, almost touching each other, the visual representation of numbers and the visual representation of colors. So we said, my God, this can't be a coincidence. These two areas are almost touching each other. They're in the same part of the brain called the fusiform gyrus. Maybe there is some cross-wiring going on there in these people. So every time they see a number, it evokes a particular color.
A fetus has millions of excess connections like this throughout its brain, but it's almost like the brain prunes itself as it develops. This keeps our senses separate, mostly. But synesthetes have a gene or genes that allow some of these branches to grow wild. But why? Richard Cytowic says that if a mutation doesn't disappear from the gene pool, it must be serving a purpose.
It's not just to make the world pretty for people who hear colors and taste shapes and see letters and numbers and colors. What is it doing for the rest of us?
V.S. Ramachandran has a clue. Synesthesia is 8 times more common in artists, writers, and musicians. And his theory is that those wild branches in synesthetes' brains help them create metaphors.
You've got excessive connections throughout the brain. That, in turn, provides a substrate, a neural substrate, gives you the opportunity to link seemingly unrelated ideas and concepts, which is the basis of metaphor. Like when you say, Juliet is the sun, you don't say, well, that means they're both, she's a hot, glowing ball of fire, is what the sun is. You say, no, she's warm and nurturing, warm like the sun, nurturing like the sun, radiant like the sun. Your brain makes the appropriate links. And those links are more pronounced in synesthetes.
A brain mutation that makes you deep and creative. There's no question. Synesthesia is probably the sexiest neurological phenomenon around.
Then people say, well, if it's that good, why doesn't everybody have it? Well, the answer is you don't want everybody to be creative. If there's a neurosurgeon operating on your brain, you don't want them getting creative on you. So you need creative people. You need diversity of the gene pool. You need creative people. You need very straight-laced, down-to-earth, hard-nosed types.
But even neurosurgeons understand metaphors. We talk about bright music as if those treble tones could blind you. And we recognize loud ties and the smell of sharp cheese. Ramachandran believes synesthesia provides clues not only into how we process these metaphors, but even into how language was created.
So here you're moving all the way from molecules to higher level mental phenomena like creativity and abstract thinking.
Ramachandran uses an experiment to prove his point. He took two words that are meaningless in most languages.
Booba, kiki.
Booba and kiki. He showed them to people and asked them to match the words to either a round shape or a jagged shape. People across the world say kiki is sharp like shattered glass, and booba is round and blobby as an amoeba.
And the reason is the brain looks at the curved shapes and it mimics the curvature of the sound, booba, and the tongue undulating on the palate like a booba, and links these and say, what do they have in common? The boobaness. And if the angulotensin is damaged, we found that people are bad at metaphor. People are also bad at cross-modal abstraction like kiki and booba.
Writer Deborah Ginsberg consciously uses her synesthetic perception in her writing. A fire erupts in her most recent novel, and she chose red and hot words for the scene.
The I, the long I sound in fire. Now, I for me is white, but when you make it a long I sound, it becomes a very bright and hot feeling letter.
From what you're saying so far, it looks as though the synesthetic evoked colors actually blend metaphorically into each other and create pleasing resonances. And this is the key to the whole thing. From our framework, from the standpoint of what I've been saying, this is beautiful.
In other words, synesthetes might be visualizing emotional qualities of words and shapes that the rest of us can feel, but wouldn't necessarily think of. So here's to words like acrobat that flip across the tongue, Rothko paintings that emit a dark drone, and Miles Davis trumpet lines that scorch the night sky like a comet. For Studio 360, I'm Michael May.
You can see a slideshow of Carol Steen's artwork at studio360.org.